HarperCollins presents The Kingdom is a Golden Cage by Lily Inkwood, read by Alison Campbell and Kristen Atherton. Prologue. Quake. Selene. I'm alone in my chambers at the Royal Palace yet again, while my fate is being decided in another room. This is the life of a princess. Staring into the distance, through the open doors to my terrace, at the light breaking over the glittering sea, while my father presides over my future. There's a soft tap of paws over the blue and gold marble, and the cat hops lightly through the doors and into the room. A blue-grey cat with a red pouch on its back, tied by fine golden threads. It's the eyes that arrest me, eyes the colour of the deep sea, with a circle of gold around them. My breath catches for so many reasons. "It is done," the cat says, stopping a few feet from me. "Sad, so sad. Your father has betrothed you to Duke Mile of Longley." I do not have words, not even tears, for this. Duke Mile, that ogre-like man, with paws like a bear's, whom I have done my best to avoid. Too loud, too vulgar, simply too much. My husband-to-be, in spite of my protests. But this is what my father sees when he looks at me. Just someone who can secure the future. My little brother is just 5 years of age and sickly, and women may not inherit in our kingdom. Not duchies, not thrones. But the law says that their male children may inherit, and my father wishes for nothing more than for me to produce an heir. As if I were all womb and no feelings. "No," I say, barely a whisper. And that I should sink so low as to have a cat spying for me, to tell me about the conclusions that my father and the Duke have reached. The cat dips its head. "I'm sorry, Selene. It's true, though they will not announce it for a while, not until the matter with the Duke's mother is settled." I chuckle bitterly. "The matter? Do you mean the fact that Mild threw out his own mother, Magali?" Oh, the powerful Dowager Duchess Magali. That a woman I loathe so much should be in the way of their plans is one of the ironies of fate. "Yes," says the cat, "they would not want to make waves, not now. So this will be kept a secret for a while." I clench my fist. "Do you suggest that this might be kept even from me?" The cat closes the distance between us, touching the hem of my skirts. "Possibly. A man who threw out his own mother from Fort Cantor, and this is who I am to wed." The call of my gift is a song in my blood, a whoosh in my ears, deafening me, making me dizzy. I used to be powerful, twirling water to my desire. I could have driven a river to wipe clean an entire village. I could have raised cataclysmic waves from the sea. But now it is almost nothing. A call without an answer, clenching over my senses when I am angry or close to tears. I feel both now, and I can hear nothing but a roar, nails digging deep in my own palms, the glass of water on the low table spilling, its contents rippling, rippling, rippling. They won't even tell me, not even me, as if this doesn't change the course of my entire life. I look to the sea, begging it to obey, begging it to carry me away. Anything so I would not have to marry that man. There's a pull on my skirts and I look down, and there's the cat. As I pick it up, the roars in my ears quieten, and I hear him calling me softly. "My dove." I stroke its fur, from the top of its head to the base of its tail, and the feeling is nothing like it should be. It's soft and velvety, cut by cut.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?